Sometimes it feels like I want to jump in that boss. To give everything to God. Life, everything I have. While the offering is taken up, there's someone that wants to share a request testimony. You're more than welcome to come in front for a word, for a song, for a prophetic dance, anything. Whatever you feel like to do.
Churches, and they're like,
If I say something cool, they say amen. And especially when I say amen, the whole congregation shouts amen. They say like amen. So I'm going to try that tonight, and then you must say amen. Okay, must you try that? 1, 2, 3, amen.
Amen.
Yes. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. Yo, so tonight I want to speak about sonship, and I'm a son. Okay, we're all here sons of God, children of God. The Bible only refers, sorry for the girls, but only speaks of a son, but you can say daughter as well. So there's two questions each one of us wants answers for. So the first question, I believe, is who am I? When we go through life, when we are born as a little baby, growing up at school, the whole time we try to figure out who am I? And the second question, I believe, is what am I called to? Those are the two main questions, I believe, we struggle sometimes to struggle with that. Sometimes it's really tough to get the answers of those questions. But tonight I believe that God wants to show us what is the truth. Who am I? What am I called for? Because if I discover who I am, then I will know what I'm called for. Amen?
Amen.
Great. Yes. So, quickly want to start with a short story. Not a story, just an example, you know? Like, I know that, let's use Yanni as an example. Eh? Yanni, this surname is De Pria. What was it first? Best name. But now it's De Pria. Yanni wakes up in the mornings. Eh? She puts her clothes on to go to work. She knows that when she drives in her car, she says, she knows she doesn't have to remind herself that she's Yanni De Pria. Okay? Because she knows that is that's who she are. Is. Are. Is. Amen. Okay. So what is goes to work in a car and she doesn't stop at the robot and oh my goodness, I forgot who I am, and then she opens the where the mirror is and she looks into that mirror and she says, Yoni, you are Yoni De Pria. You are De Pria. And De Pria has this, knows, and this, and this, and this. She doesn't do that because she's born, although she was the best, but now she's a De Pria, and says, why? Amen. So she doesn't go through the day, and halfway in the day, she's like, oh my word, I forgot who I am. And then she freaks out, and she runs to the bathroom again, and she's looking to the mirror, and she's, Yoni, you're a De Pria, you're a De Pria, you're a De Pria. She knows that. That's like so born into her, that's engraved in her heart. Amen. So, sometimes, why do we then struggle with who we are? If Christ said we are sons of God, we are children of God, that's our identity, that's what He's made us to be, then why is it that we sometimes so struggle with our identity and with who we are as a child of God? So, you know, the first scripture I want to read is in Romans 8. Everybody says Romans 8, verse 12 to 17. That is the person next to you and said, I love that smile on your face. Yeah, it's interesting, it's all the Christians in the house. You brought the Bible though, let's be honest. Okay, so Romans 8, verse 12 says the following. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bear witness of our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Okay, so maybe this will be the main scripture for tonight. But before I go on, like this, Paul was a guy in the Bible, in the New Testament. He was really a nice guy, knew the script. charge. Okay, so in those days, stuff worked a little bit different than it worked today. They had the Roman law. Okay, for us to understand completely what it means to be adopted as a son of God, we need to understand the context. And I just quickly want to share a little bit about the Roman law. No, Carl, he's a law student, so if I'm wrong, you can just correct me. Okay. Oh no, you're not a law, he's a DRE, as kids.
Is that this is really cool. The old life, no matter what he did, he was
because maybe he was the biggest sinner or stealer or hater or whatever, his old life was literally seen as being cancelled and wiped away when he moves into the new family, when he's been adopted into the new family. He literally gets a new life, a new start that he can start. And then the fourth one is that he doesn't doubt that the new adoption, he knows, he's certain that this adoption has taken place and that he is now in the new father's adoption. Okay, so when you see these four consequences, we can understand if we look at the cross, because at the cross this happened to us. Okay, everything I just mentioned is so significant because this we can draw to the cross and what Jesus came to do with us when we became sons of God and we become daughters of God. Amen. And this is the good news. Tell the person next to you, this is good news. Okay. So the first consequence we've gained new rights in God's name. When we become a son of God, we receive new rights to be a son. Okay, we receive the first right that we receive is authority. Amen. In Luke 10 verse 19, it says, "Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you." So the right that God gives us being a son of God is he gives us authority. Amen. And I believe we as children of God and sons of God, because if we are really true sons of God, we will walk in this authority. We don't walk in this authority because we do not know the fullness of being a son of God. Amen? Just an example, like I have this, it's like God gives us a credit card. Okay? And on this credit card, there's no limit. He gives you a credit card and he says, you can use this credit card no matter, you can swipe it like every day, it will never run out. Okay, so the amount of money in this credit card, in this bank, will never ever stop. So it's like, I'm giving you a credit card. What does Hayes do? He says, oh, thank you. He puts it in his pocket and he just carries on with his life. He doesn't use the credit card. Okay, and I believe that God is like, hey, you must use the credit card. He says, I don't know how. Yeah. But it's just a thing, like, it's very easy to use credit card. Okay? You go to the ATM, you put it in the ATM, away money comes out. It's not difficult. So we go to God, we say, God, here I am, this is my life, this is like my credit card. I say, Lord, I give you my life, that's all I can give you. And what will come out? Authority. God will start using us when we just surrender our lives to Him. Amen? But we don't. We walk one foot here, one foot there, we just carry on in life. We think, only the pastors can pray for the sick people, and only the pastors can raise the people out of the dead. this I had the privilege of going to Malawi this June holiday. I was just amazed again about the. I think it's like a huge dam. Like, let's say the sea is our authority that we have received. And we still play here in the waves. We're just still there building some castles. We're not in the sea. I don't know how to get there. But anyway, I just surrender my life every day to God and say, God, this is all I have to give you, is my life. Please use my life. But we were in Malawi, and the one morning we went door to door visit, and I went to this one family, and I just thought sharing my testimony of how God has used me and how God has just taken me out of bad places in my life. And when I was small, really something happened to me that was a bit traumatic. But in the moment when I wanted to share that, well, the Holy Spirit just told me, but you must tell the woman that you have been stolen. Oh, this is not right. I'm going to lie to these people. But anyway, I just said when I was small, I was stolen and blah, 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 blah. And the moment when I said that, the mother started crying. She started weeping in that moment. And I asked said to her, what's going on? Why is she crying like that? And then she said, this morning, so she said, she has a daughter. And when her daughter was 6 years old, one night while they were sleeping, someone came into the house and they stole her daughter. And later that night, they returned her daughter, and the daughter was completely deaf and mute. So, and I said, yes, you want to bring your king into this house today. You want me to use my authority, my credit card, to heal this lady, this girl. Because at that moment, she was 16 years old. For 10 years, she was living in all these demon bad stuff. And, you know, we've got authority just to came. We just said, Lord, I break all these curses, everything, anything that has placed on her life and strongholds over her life, I break it now in the name of Jesus Christ. And she was healed in that moment. She just started laughing because I don't think she can remember how to speak. And she just started crying. So, you know, if we don't use the spirit of God, God has given us, lives will not change. People will not come to salvation. There's something God has given. It's a free gift. All we must do is say, Lord, thank you that I'm your son. I don't deserve this. But being a son of God gives you this. So the second God, he's given us authority. He's given us power. Amen. In Acts 1 verse 8, we read, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I wonder how Peter felt when he said this scripture. I think he was like feeling like a man standing there in front of everyone. But you shall receive power. Okay, but anyway, I just thought of that now. But the Greek word for power is dynamos. Everybody say dynamos. Okay, so you can, it means dynamite. Amen? So the power that God has given us is like dynamite. What does dynamite do? It explodes. You know, when dynamite explodes, everybody will know that there was just dynamite exploding in that building or in that field or wherever. Okay, that's the same power that we have received through being a son of God. He says, Yoni, I give you dynamite power. Go use that. Like, I believe we must go into this world and into campus and into residence, and where we are, we must be like dynamite exploding so that people will see the power of God. You know? Because that is the power that I have inside of me, inside of you, this power that's dynamite. Like dynamite, or want to explode. But we don't use the dynamite because we think, oh no, the pastor will do that, blah, 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 blah. Okay. But I believe tonight our way of thinking will change. Amen?
Amen.
Great. I'm excited. Okay. The third thing that we have received is righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sent for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, one of the biggest problems we have in life is listening to the lies of the devil. Because the devil continuously comes in front of us and says, you cannot stand before God. You've just sinned again. Look what you've just looked again. You know? Continuously tries to take our eyes off the righteousness that is in the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we will not boldly approach God, and we will not feel that we can use this power and authority that we have received. But it's a place tonight, and just in worship again, God just told me, all he wants is us to be surrendered to him. If we see the cross of Jesus Christ, we see that there is an exchange happening on the cross. No, we must understand that when Jesus died, I died. When he rose. I exchanged my life because my life is now on the cross. It's been dead. It's been buried with him. That's why we get baptized. Because we identify with what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And our lives exchange when we come out of that vortex. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2 verse 20. And so if we live this exchange life as a son, we will just walk in so much fullness. But to the devil continuously just brings this lies and this lies and this condemnation. Yes. So yeah, the next scripture is in Ephesians 2. It speaks about worth. You know, in my whole life, I believe I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to have friends. I'm not worthy to be cool. I'm not worthy for people to like me. I'm not worthy to be loved by God. All, everything just went around this worth issue. And I believe all of us have an issue, you know. But in Ephesians 2 verse 4, just listen to what God says. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were taking trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he has for me and as for you, everyone in this room. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. Do you see that? That's nice. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God wants to show us his exceeding riches and grace through Jesus. If we see Jesus, we see the grace and the riches of God. And we see that we are worthy and that God has placed worth on our life. But it's only when we see Jesus, we see the cross. Not what your friends say, what Facebook says, and all the magazines say. It's only when we look at Christ. Amen? For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, as anyone should praise. So we have received, and there's many more things that we have received. This is only the tip of the iceberg that will raise our right of being the Son of God. We can speak to this for ages. But we don't have so many time. Okay, but what also happened in that adoption is that we became heirs of God and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. In Romans 8 verse 17, and if children, then heirs. First it says, if we are children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What does it mean to be an heir of God? It means that that God is my portion. You know? Who God is, he's my exceedingly great reward. God is my portion. What does it mean to be co-heirs of Christ? It means that everything that is in Christ is mine. Everything that Christ did, I have that. I have inherited through Jesus Christ. You know, in the Psalms we read that the nations is our inheritance. All that Christ is, all that he was and will be, that's my inheritance. Because I'm part of God, I'm in his family now, he's my father. So it means that everything that is his, it is mine. But what do we say? It's like God gives us this credit card with all this money and all this great riches and revelations and power and authority and everything. We just put it in our room and we said, oh wait, I'll just go on with my life as I am. We're missing out, we're losing. Yes, and then the greatest thing for me is to realize that everything that I've done in my past, my biggest failures has been wiped away by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, that guy, that son that will be adopted in the new family, you know? He doesn't even think about the stuff that he's done in his previous family. Because, you know, when I'm in my new family, when I'm with my new father, that I have a new life, I have a new start. All the old things have passed away. Everything is new. He doesn't even worry about the things that he's done in his previous family. He Because he knew, he's so confident and so assured that when I'm in my new father's house, then all the old things have gone away. We read in Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15, it says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwritings of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." All your handwritings, all your shortcomings, the list of sins that you've done, it's nailed on the cross.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
It's been done away with. That power and that power has been broken when it was nailed on the cross.
Yeah.
You know? You do not have to live. You know, many times in my life, I've walked with my list all around in my pocket. Just thinking of that, it's like a cycle that just came again. God just showed me, but Kukubis, your past and everything that you've done in your life is an idol in your life. And every time it comes in front of you, you bow before it. And I believe these people yet to know that there's the same problem. You just cannot get rid of the things you've done in your past. It comes before you continuously, and every time it comes, you bow before it. And all that condemnation, all that guilt, just come to me. But the truth is that you have been set free, and it has been nailed on for us. We do not live in the past anymore, we live in the future. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Yes, so, we do not have to doubt that we are sons, because the word says we are sons, and that is more than enough. But for those who still doubt it, God even gave us a confidence in Romans 8, verse 16. He said, "The Spirit Himself bears witness of our spirit that we are children of God." Now, in those days of the Roman law, when this whole adoption took place, there were seven witnesses present when this adoption took place. So that they can testify and really be assured that what has happened here, this adoption, is really legit. Okay, it's not fake. And if someone dies on that seven, there's still six others that can still testify that this son has been adopted into this new family. Now, we have the Spirit, the Spirit Himself that bears witness, that stands before the Father and says, "God, your being is a son. He's not an orphan, he's not a slave, but he's a son." How can we, that's so amazing to know that, because we can be so confident in that knowing that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is continuously, the Bible says he's making groans that cannot be uttered. You know, he's like so seriously before God the whole time and says, "God, what happens? He's a son. He has the authority, he has power, he has all these things because he's your son." Amen. And then, Galatians 4, verse 4 to 7. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And even a son, then an heir of God in Christ Jesus." So tonight, I want to tell you that you must be a son. You must be a son in the fullness form that it can be. Son. I don't even know what else to talk about. But if there was, it would be son. Be the fullness, be the goodness, most precious Jesus son that you can be, because you've made to be that. You've been born to be a son, you've been born to be a daughter, to be a child of God. You're not born to be a slave to sin and to this world. That's what the devil thinks you must be. But you're born to be a son. Romans 8 verse 19, just listen to this, it's amazing. "For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly
for God's Son to be made known, waiting for the revealing, the disclosing of His sonship. For even the whole creation waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known.
Turn to the person next to you and say, the creation is waiting for you to be revealed as a son.
Now I want to ask you, when you lived and you have your lack of life, do people know you are sons of God, or are you just use one of them?
You know, something that we've been born, let's say I've been born in the Boyston blood, okay? That's my inheritance. And my father is a Boyston, and his father is a Boyston. So that is the bloodline that I'm walking in. Okay. Now, in this bloodline of mine, there's many things that is wrong. Okay, lots of sin, or let's say maybe curses over this bloodline. Okay? So I walk, yes, my life, I'm not saved, so I just continue to walk into this bloodline. Okay. Ain't gonna help. Okay. Yes, hey. Okay, this is Jesus now. Okay? Okay, so this is Jesus, and this is the poison. So Yoni, you also come in. So Yoni, let's say she's also now a poison, just for one. So Yoni is a poison, she's walking in this bloodline of the poisons. Okay. So maybe she struggles with, let's say, alcoholism or depression or okay, but this is in this bloodline. There's alcoholism and there's depression. That's something that flows in this bloodline. It's been passing from generation to generation. Now Yoni comes to a nice church, a shofar church. It's a shofar church. There's an invitation, there's an altar call, and she says, I'm going to accept Jesus. So what happens? She moves from this bloodline of being a voice into the bloodline of Christ. Amen? So now, hallelujah. So now, this bloodline is not flowing in her life anymore because she's now under Christ. She's now a son of God. So if the bloodline of Jesus is flowing through her, you understand that all the old things that happened in this bloodline, all her old bad habits and sins and everything, now she's not in this anymore. Because she's now a son, she's now a daughter of God. So she's moved from this into the new life. So when she walks, she walks as a new person, as a new Yoni. Hallelujah! Okay. So this is the good news, that what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we are part of that. We walk in this new bloodline of Christ. This is our authority, this is our identity, this is our sonship. We are part of that. We are no longer part of the old purpose of the old Yoni, because that has been crucified on the cross. And then believe that. Stop thinking that you still live your own life and need to work for God's love, or work for His salvation, or work for His forgiveness. Open your eyes and see that it's been done on the cross already. Amen. And people, oh, beloved. God, the creation, your campus, your house, your work is waiting for you to reveal the true Son of God. Amen. So, I have an example here today. What is this?
Orange.
Okay, so this is an orange. What happens when I squeeze this orange? Juice comes out. What juice comes out of this orange? Orange juice. There's not apple juice coming out. You can come check. So, I'm squeezing this orange, and there is orange juice coming out. So why is it when we as Christians are being squashed, everything else but Christ comes out? this morning. You know, the world is broken and the world is full of pain, and everybody wants to be like everybody. And when we are in situations that is not so good, in situations that is tough for us, why is it that Jesus comes to help us? But anger or depression or heaviness comes to us. To be a son of God means that when I'm in a situation that's really tough for me, I can reveal Jesus in that situation. To be a son of God is when it's going really bad with me, and I'm so in a bad place, and all this work that I have to do, and all this things, Christ can still come out of me. Because I'm a son of God, I walk in this new life. I walk in this freedom. I walk in this. You know, when we look in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, Satan deceived Eve. What did he say to him? He said, the first thing he got to do, he got her to question her identity. He said, in Genesis 3 verse 5, Satan said to Eve, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. But the problem is that Eve was already like God. She doesn't have to be like God if you're already like God. God has made her in His image, in His likeness. If we look at Jesus when He was in the wilderness, the devil came and tempted Him as well. He says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. So He immediately questioned His identity of being the Son of God. Because the devil hated if we are sons of God. Because if we have a realization of the fullness of being the Son of God, the devil won't even come to us. Amen? Because we are so full of power and so full of authority and so assured. But because it's the truth that will set you free. Not lies. Lies will keep you in bondage. But the truth will set you free. So Satan is after our identity. He's after us being sons, true sons of God. True sons of God. God, and this is so sad, and that's why the scripture is there for the creation of ways for the revelation of the true sons of God. Now, people are orienting, and it's so important for us to understand that it's not okay when you get squeezed and everything else manifests, but except Jesus. It's not right. That is the times when Jesus must be manifested the most in our lives. Because people want to have what you have. People, you know, it's very cute and very Olaf to come to church and worship God and everybody's hallelujah, amen. But it's difficult to worship God in your class or outside of your workplace. And then it's when people look at you. Yeah, we are all Christians. It's really so comfortable to be here in church. Now, everybody's Christians, everybody follows Christ. Not weird for you to be there to worship God. But come to your class, come to your work, and the people are looking at you. And they are seeing, they are wanting to know what are you doing. How are you reacting? And then it's there when we must manifest Christ. Because where we go, we are carriers of the presence of God. Amen? Because the presence of God is in us. It doesn't stop when you go out of this door. We are carriers of the presence of God. People want to see that. We must be so possessed by God that when we walk out and when we are in class, it's not about Bible bashing everybody. Our life is a testimony of God in us. We don't have to go all around and quote every scripture and condemn people. God wants to love on people. And the only way He can love on people is by us coming to the realization of being the Son of God. Because I have all the love of God in my life. Because He's my Father. And He's poured out His love on us. So I want us all to stand tonight. While we stand, I just want you to think about this question. Do you know who you are? maybe you are here tonight and you do not know who you are. The devil has rather bad comes up. I just want us to think about that two questions that I said in the beginning. Do you really know who you are? Do you really know what it means to be a son of God? While the ushers hand out the communion, I really feel that tonight we can break bread around this. That we no longer walk in this world questioning who we are or questioning our identity. That you will truly come to the understanding tonight of the fullness of being the Son of God. Maybe the lies of the devil have entangled you so much that you don't even know who you are. You've been searching for so many things. You've been searching at your friend or at your father or wherever, trying to find this identity, trying to find out who you are and what you've been called to. But we can only find it at the cross. We can only see who we are when we look at the cross. When we come to the cross, you say, Jesus, show me. Jesus, I give my life. Jesus, because to be adopted as a son is a free gift. There's nothing we have to do to deserve it or to earn it. And tonight I really feel that God wants to come and He wants to adopt us to His house, to be sons in His house, to be daughters in His house, with the full inheritance, with the full power, with the full authority, so that we can go out in this world. And then when we get squeezed, when we get really tired, we manifest Christ, we manifest Jesus. So I want to make an invitation to you. If you are here tonight, you are not even a son, really. You are still in the world. You are still looking for that identity. You haven't even been adopted in His house. Then I want to invite you to come in front while everyone is praying. While all eyes are closed, you are here tonight. You are not a son. You are so lost in this world, in the things of this world. And I want to invite you to come in front so that we can pray for you. That you will come to understand. Because to be adopted in His house is a free gift. It's not something to earn. God wants to give us adoption. God wants to give us adoption.